You might like to open your Bible, if you would, again to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. First Peter chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we bend head and heart in your presence, looking for you to honor yourself. God, you have to be gracious and merciful, patient long before being angry. You have to be all that you are, who you are, to us, so that we will be able to receive the benefit of being in your presence, assembled together according to your word, your day set apart for you. God, honor yourself, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We shared together last time in this little segment we're doing, in the light of the new year, in the light of being rightly motivated, having the momentum to proceed forward, knowing you cannot go backwards. You cannot go back in the calendar. You cannot go back on the clock. You can't go backwards no matter how you cut the cookie. You can't go backwards. Now, in the light of that, and the future, we're right now in the present. 5 minutes from now, we're in the future. And we're going to have to be We're going into the future, ready or not. And thus we need to find value, reason for living, moving, having our earthly being, our earthly existence in God's timeless person. And God has made it. In his wonderful grace, God created us, God did it. Your names before you were ever born are recorded in God's wonderful heaven. Now, God, here we are in the middle, and you have made it, so you created us. And thus, you created us on earth. You knew Adam and Eve would sin. You knew the world system, not the world flowers, bugs, and birds, but the world system, made up of humans, is a system that excludes you in every way, shape, or form in the light of who you really are. So that God, the world system, has religion, it has politics, it has everything. And God, we're born to that system. And God, all of us, you died for every single person in that world system. You died for every living human being that was born, except for yourself, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, so God, you gave yourself, and the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It cost you to, you saw us, you created us in an awesome way, and you made provision that could occur, the creation in the first place, because you, God, volunteered in Christ Jesus to be our Savior, to be the solution to that which you allowed to happen, which is sin. And thus, God, you allowed your Son to be happen. You allowed it because of your Son. Now, keeping that in mind, I say that because in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, your manner of living, received by tradition from your fathers," father, grandfather, we each do what we do, "but," it wasn't that way, no, verse 19, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifest in these last times for you." Now, God, you sent your Son to die. The price it cost you to create us will cost you your Son. And the reason you allow us to be created and to have Adam's fall in which we sinneth all, in order for us to be created, you have made it wonderfully possible to save us. And thus, every single one of you and every single person is incredibly valuable to God. And without God, we're just not much. But when we consider God, your wonderful purpose, and that here we are on planet Earth, and you let it happen, you made it happen, in fact. So God, you went and shed your precious blood by way of our Lord Jesus Christ to pay the price. And the word precious means honor, great value, dear, precious, honor, value, honorable. Your precious blood. You are very, what you did on Calvary's cross is extremely, highly, beyond our understanding, valuable. And thus, each human being that you died for is extremely, wonderfully valuable and has huge potential if they would but reconnect to you. Wow. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, and remember we shared together in verse 17, I'll read it, I guess. "If you call on the Father, who respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time, be going through the moments of history, pass the time of your sojourning as a dweller, a stranger, here on earth, pilgrim, in fear." And why are we doing it in fear? What is the motivation for this fear? We shared together in verse 16 and 17, 15 and 16. God is holy, and we ought to be holy. And God shed his precious blood. Therefore, in fear, recognizing and honoring your holiness, honoring your wonderful preciousness, and in your preciousness, you have created us to be precious to you. So all our humanness in our flesh, you want us to be extremely precious to you. You, our God and Creator, our Savior and Lord, shed your precious blood to make this happen. So God, here we are, we're all sought out by you to know you. And in order to know you, you have provided for us the required righteousness by way of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is counted for us as righteousness. So God, you've made it wonderfully possible to be able to know, to be born physically, we already have that, to be born spiritually, we need that, fulfilling your wonderful purpose, your wonderful plan, your most precious plan in yourself to save us, to make us part of your wonderful person. And so God, as in verse 4, chapter 2, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, God, the believing heart becomes precious in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. And God, you make us as he is heir. We are heirs and joint heirs with him, Romans 8. And so, God, we're motivated. The impulse of the moment is to follow, to proceed. And we have Peter giving us the impact, and Peter used as God's penman, and Peter says, run forward. Paul, are you going to say the same thing? I am going to say the same thing, to run forward. Be followers of us believers, 1 Thessalonians 1:6. As we are followers of God, so as the believing heart runs and moves forward, not backward, in the direction of God's glory and honor, the testimony is made for all men and women, boys and girls, to know there's a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God. Now, what is the example of Peter and Paul and the rest of them for us? What did they know? Over, if you would now, to Ecclesiastes again, chapter 1. Ecclesiastes in chapter 1. And you will note in the remember the book of Ecclesiastes is about living on planet Earth, having they had a lottery almost like Iran just got for $1 billion. Now, having everything so that if a human being could taste, touch, and experience everything in life, Solomon, it happened to him. And God made it happen, and God made it possible. So when Solomon is done tasting, working, everything that's possible to have, be, do in human life, he writes Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Verse 3, what profit hath a man if all his labor, which he hath taken under the sun? If we just do everything, one generation passes away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. We have, we get. As Job would say, chapter 1, I came naked into the world, and I go out naked. As Paul will say in Timothy 6, we brought nothing in, it is absolutely certain we bring nothing out. You came in with nothing, you go out with nothing. Everything you have is temporal at the very best for how many years of days of your life. Now, over to chapter 3, just one more for you. We just read it, but to look at it. Chapter 3, you read the profit and loss, having and losing. Here in chapter 3, verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? In other words, we labor to get, to do, to have, to be. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And God, you have made everything beautiful, useful in his time, in our time. God, you made it all for us to profit. He hath set, put eternity, the world in our heart, and that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, God, we're very God conscious. You were when you were born, and you were little, God made it known that you knew God. Do you understand? Romans 1, clear as a bell. And God did it. No one else told you. Mommy, daddy didn't tell you. God did. Now, what did you do with the fact that you were created by God and for God? And then we get caught up in the adult world and God disappears, seemingly. So now, here we are looking, and looking in our world, and we bring nothing in, we take nothing out. Now, and what's the profit when you're done? We have everything, we get everything, but God, we're made, Ecclesiastes 3:11, we're made more than for earth. God, we're made to last like the angels. So all of a sudden, when we brought nothing in and we bring nothing out, and everything we have on earth is vanity apart from you, God, because it isn't about here, it's about you and there. So God, I need to get that clearer. Mark chapter 8. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 8. You will notice our Lord picking up, if I can, directly in verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, to everybody, not just the disciples, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So where are you going, God? Well, that's what I want you to do. Follow me. Paul, Peter, what do you want? Follow Christ. Verse 35. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, for the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, God, so if we follow you, what about our time on earth, our stewardship and everything? Keep in mind, you brought nothing in, you brought nothing out. It's no profit if you had the... Well, say it for us. 8 and 36. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul? What on earth price could you pay to save your soul? You have no price to save your soul. God in his precious blood made it possible for you to get saved in the first, second, third place. And without that, you can't get saved. There's nothing you have, because everything in the world is condemned. Let's do it again with that background. And over, if you would, please, in your Bible to Philippians, the book of Philippians, and chapter 1. Philippians in chapter 1. You remember, to the believing heart, I'm talking now to the believing heart. God is talking to the believing heart. I'm going to read verse 6 directly. Being confident, free, bold, fearless, three F's. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when I came to know the Lord and received the Lord as my Savior, God, it began some wonderful, wonderful adventure for me to discover. When you were born physically and you came from your mother's womb and you took your first breath, and then in a period of time, not long, you were born psychologically. And at which point you begin to think about you need to be changed, you're hungry, and everything else. Wow. Now, in the light of that, God, you made us. When we come to know you as our Savior, you're going to start something just like you did physically. You started something spiritually in our life, because that's where we were born. Physically, so that we could be born spiritually. Now, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. May I go directly to the end of verse 12? But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear. Remember, you're sojourning here in fear. We're going down the corridor in fear, rightly respecting the awesomeness of the whole adventure, the preciousness of all of it, so wonderfully, wonderfully valuable and glorifying to God as it outworks itself. Not profiting in this life. No, there is no profit. What's the good if you had the whole world? It's no good. You won the $7 billion. You went over and took Iran's $150 billion. What would it do you? Nothing. Now, so therefore, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working. All right, now how does it work out? When God's working in a heart and you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what do you discover? You're going to discover what King Solomon did. You're going to discover what profit is there when you're done. But it takes a bit to get there. So Paul, you lived so long, finally got saved on the Damascus Road. Now, Paul, I want to pick up, if I can, and you will notice, please, chapter 3, if I may, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I'm going to have to tell you some stuff, because you need to know, and Paul is in prison writing. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. And in particular, looking at dogs, so you think of your dog, beware of dogs. Remember dogs, roamed the street in the Old Testament. That was one of the things they talk about, Psalm 59 and that. Dogs are roaming the street to eat the food that is put out. People throw out food, garbage, and the dogs, they're wild dogs. They roam the street. And in fact, Psalm 22, the dogs can end up and the bad dogs can surround you when you're out there at night. Wow. The dogs. What? And dogs are unclean. They eat the wrong stuff. Unclean. Now God, they're dogs. And now remember, the Jews saw the Gentiles, without giving you the references, remember the woman and the bread fall off the table and the dogs eat it, etc., etc. The Jews saw the Gentiles as dogs. Paul, what are you saying? Among other things, what? The Jews have rejected Christ the Messiah. And now they are like the Gentiles, dogs. Beware of them. Beware of them. Now, moving down quickly. Paul, you want to tell me something? I am. Verse 3. We are the circumcision of the heart, of the ear, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and, underline in your mind and heart, have no confidence in the flesh. Though, Paul, remember Moses, God picks people for the right jobs, and Moses was next in line. If his son disappeared, Moses could have been Pharaoh. He was trained in every aspect. He was Pharaoh's favorite, along with his son. Paul, and God took Moses and cleaned him up after 80 years out there and ready for God, all by his lonesome. Not as Pharaoh, but as God's servant. Paul, you have everything. I'm going to read it. Verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if we want to talk about worldly things, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. How is that? I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I'm a Jew of a Jew, tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. By the way, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all honor me. They all honor me. I'm part of their, I'm in with all of them. Concerning zeal, verse 6, persecuting the church, I'm after all the bad guys. That he saw them as bad guys because they weren't honoring Judaism. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of in the law, blameless. In other words, I do all the things that you guys, the Pharisees, as a Pharisee, Sadducees, I honor you. Guys, you know I'm one of you. I'm one of the righteous ones, like you. Huh. Okay. Now, Paul, you just told us in verse 3, no confidence in the flesh. And you just gave us all your credentials. And Paul, did you ever mention your mother, your father, your wife? Did you mention any of them? You never mentioned them. Did you mention that you were very rich? Nope. Did you mention that you were a Roman citizen? I did that. And I only did that because they were going to do something to me, and I was a Roman citizen, and they couldn't do it. So, Paul, you don't say anything about yourself. No. No, nothing. Nothing. Now, point. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, what gain, profit, what things were gained, profited to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What things were gained to me, I counted loss. And so here, God, we're looking, and you're counting them to esteem them, to lead them with the mind, and you, on account of, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for, on account of Christ. So you counted all of that, all those credentials, and all that prestigious position you had, you counted that as you counted as loss, L-O-S-E. You counted it as a loss. I did. In the light of Christ, it was a loss. It was only the world. What people get, come, go, buy, sell. It was all worldly, all earthly, all what humans do. Now, so it is loss, cost, a bad bargain it was. A dead loss, utterly bad. Now, in verse 7, I should say, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. So now, having said that, in other words, I took the assets and I took the liabilities and I put them out on the table. I put the good and the bad, the useful and useless, the riches and the debt. I took it all out. I became my own auditor. I audited my own life. Other people audit things. I audited my own life. I took a good look at my life and the world in which I live, and I audited it. Now, so in doing so, and when I did so, I counted it all as loss. I had never made a good bargain. All the things that, everything that I've ever done and who I am, degrees, school, prestigious, whatever, trophies, it's no bargain. It doesn't help me with God. It won't save me. It doesn't give me a relationship that is right with you, God. All of it is as nothing. That's right. It's loss. Hang on. Loss. Emptiness. Emptiness. Leaving me with nothing. Nothing. No reputation. All my reputation. Everything I have. Everything I could have. Is nothing. Hudson Taylor, you remember, and when he was asked, in the light of all of his sacrifice, as people would see it, they asked him, Mr. Taylor, you must have sacrificed much. And Hudson Taylor replied, quote, man, I never made a sacrifice in my life. Understand that? I echo, I would say personally, the same thing before God. I never sacrificed one thing for God. All of grace. Never did a thing. I have nothing that commends, zero commends me. Now, in the light of that, profit and loss. And in the light of the profit and loss, keeping in mind, if I may, here's your treasure, and here's your treasure on earth. We try to get what we can, and try to get, remember the disciples are going to say when the oil is poured over the head, and they're going to say, what a waste. A year's worth of money. Wasted. Wasted. They didn't understand. Wasted? Oh no, not wasted. You poured it over the lovely person of Christ in the light of his person and death. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, there's your word again, for the excellency above, beyond, supreme, the highest, supreme, highest, above, beyond, exceeding, excelling, superabounding, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. To know him. Remember verse 7, the end, the loss account of because of Christ. Verse 8, the loss for the excellency, for the super duper, superior, abounding, excelling excellency, preciousness of Jesus Christ my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Suffered it? How did you suffer it? And how did you suffer? I counted it, I counted them, all things, I counted them but dung, that I may win Christ. Dung means waste, garbage, excrement, any kind of stuff you throw out. Dregs, dung, waste. Paul, you're prestigious, you're rich, you got all this stuff. It's nothing, it's dung. Now, how can that be and why? I'm going to try to illustrate it for you very quickly. And you'll have to bear with me to do this. I could go and get an electronic thing, you know, and show you pictures, but I'm not getting into that. But I'm going to do my little bit. So you just hang in there, think good thoughts, and as you're thinking good thoughts, as you're thinking them, you just think of everything you are and everything you have, and all your wealth and all your prestigious degrees and possessions, your car and everything you have. Now, here's two containers. And one is, this is you. Appropriately. Now, I wouldn't stand up either if I was that way. Profit, profit, loss, profit. When you look at your life, you look at all the things now, all of you are so old, and there's things that are good, that were pleasing, present, pleasant, and you like. And there's things in your life that you goofed, you did bad, and you don't like. So you have, if you were weighing everything and you could put it all out on a piece of paper and line the list up of your years of your life, you would have a column over here for loss in this bucket, and you would have a column over here for your profit. Now, when you're all done with all of the profit and loss, Paul help us. Peter, help us. Solomon, help us. Okay. Lord, put it all together for us. Okay. Here's the world system which is condemned. Knowing this, 1 Corinthians 1:29, no flesh shall glory in His presence. The flesh, Romans 8, cannot please God. Nothing. The loss and the profit from your life, all of it is your life, your flesh, you're busy working on earth, checking and doing everything, and what you do, and when you're all done, what have you got? You don't have anything of any credential, of any worth, that you could say, God, here I am. You don't have that. You don't have anything. What are you going to offer them? Your school, your background, your college, your whatever. Offer them, whatever. You don't, it's no good. It's condemned. When He died on the cross, He condemned the world. Now, God, what are you trying to tell us? God has done something wonderful. He is precious. He made you precious. He made you precious so you can have a wonderful relationship to Him that is highly valued, and it is all centered not in yourself, which He's condemned, but in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, we're going to go and put up, if I can, you won't see it back there, but loss, black, and the purple, profit. When I put them together, and I'm going to put them together, here they are. Don't separate them. Paul said, when I take all of the good and all of the bad in my life, it's zero. It's dung. I don't have one blessed bit of anything to offer God. What did you do? I count Christ, the precious one, who makes it all work. Now, God, what have you done? You've taken our profit and loss on the cross, so that we are to reckon ourselves what? Dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto Christ. Dead to sin. Now I'm going to give it to you another way. Therefore, if any believer, man, woman, boy, or girl, be in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. All things of what? Gone. No good. Everything has become what? New. It's a new relationship. So you don't want the old relationship. You don't want to do that. It isn't going to pay. What happened? You're going to put your pursuit is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Your whole world has changed. You just didn't get saved, a little ticket to heaven, and that you probably didn't get saved. If all you think is you got a ticket to heaven, I don't think you got saved. God didn't save you for heaven. He saved you for right here and now to enjoy the wonderful person and presence of God right here and now. Precious, precious, precious. And that's what God has done. So that you put away profit and loss. No, none of it. None of it. It isn't anything. You can give me all your credentials and all your wonderfulness. It's zero. That's no offense to you. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have done what you do and do the best you can. All it is the flesh. And God has changed it. How so? He made you new. What do you mean new? Here's my glass of water. I can drink water and it profits my physical body. But you know what? When you get saved, the body belongs to whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can now do everything I did before. I can do it eating and drinking to the glory of God. My whole world's changed. I go to the same thing. I even watched part of the football game yesterday. How's that for worldliness? And I did that. I'm saved. If you're saved, you're new. You're new. God, I'm not interested in anything about me or you. I'm interested in about the wonderful purpose and plan of our Lord Jesus Christ, who makes everything. Otherwise, it's dung. I did good at work. I did good at school. If you're giving it glory to God and you do your schoolwork and your kitchen work and your housework and your work, and you do all of that stuff properly, doing it as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as what? Unto the Lord. Whatever you do, and your whole world's changed. No more profit and loss. I count it as dung. How many believers do you think understand that or do it? So we're busy, feeling we have an up. We feel good today. We feel bad tomorrow. We're disappointed tomorrow, and we're happy today. And we're back and forth, up and down, in our little world, disappointed, depressed, depleted, discouraged. Here we go. And we do all of that. And God, and we're busy trying to do it, and then to sing, worship, and preach. Doing that. And we all do our little jobs. I'm a Christian, and I preach, and I teach. Well, no offense, forget it. Forget it. No, sir. No, it isn't about that. It isn't about that at all. God, it's about you. For me, understanding that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. God, so the whole ball game now isn't about me. Who cares about me? No one. God, you're the one. You made me precious. You found me precious in your Son. Because of your Son. And because of your Son, we are in pursuit of the excellency that is given to us as new creatures in Christ to enjoy being new, being precious. Wow. And so otherwise, we forget this, and we go back to this till another stirring of the heart, and then we try to turn to God again. It ought to be a way of life. Your old life is crucified. Your new life is eternal. It has no time to it. And you need to practice that. It's dung. You all have wastebaskets, don't you? Have a wastebasket? You guys got wastebaskets? What do you do with a wastebasket? Put it in your bed? It's waste. That's why I put it in the wastebasket. So God, we're trying to make our little lives precious. We, in and of ourselves, we're trying to feel good about our children and everything. God, we forgot about you. You're the one that children, parents, people, children need you. They don't need anyone here. They don't need anything here. They don't have to win the lottery. They need to know they have, Matthew 6, they have a heavenly Father who knoweth the need before you ask Him. And it's all about that. So that God, you take my world that I live in and you make it so I do everything, but I do it differently. I think differently. I feel differently. I'm not caught up in whether you liked it or you didn't like it. What difference does it make? I'm going to try to do the right thing in the right way for the right reasons. And God, honor yourself in the midst of it. Do you understand that? We'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, Spirit of God, help us.
so that we can truly begin to experience what it is to be saved, to begin to enjoy the majestic, merciful wonderment of your dealing with our head and heart. God, it's an awesome thing. We don't want to be churchy. We don't want to. That's what's trouble. We got all kinds of stuff in our head and heart about church and you and Christ and being saved. And God, it's all mixed up more than not. So we never get to the nitty gritty. God, it's just about you. And God, we see you. You're the object for the excellency of the knowledge of who you are, what you've done, your wonderful, grand, and glorious purpose to save such as us. To make it so that there is no such any more failure. I failed to this. I failed that. I never became this. God, we aren't trying to fail and we aren't trying to become something. We are something in your wonderful Son. As sons in the Son, God, wonder of wonders. Thank you very much. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. You may want to turn in your hymnal, if you would, to 268.